Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I'm epic fantasy author JV Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into the realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis, and each specialize in their own plethora of art forms. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com, or go ahead and follow us at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter, I guess it's X these days, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me just as JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. So as we reach the witching hour, I want to cast my message spell here and take control of the magical airwaves for the next 30 minutes or so. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Today, we'll be chronicling the adventures of fellow speculative fiction scribe R.A. Fisher. In this case, R.A. is really two people, but we'll only be talking to one tonight, and that's Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, well met and welcome to the realm.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you guys like to write and where we can find you.
Absolutely. So I co-author a fantasy fiction, obviously a series with my wife, Rachel. And it's, you know, it's been a love project. So we have been working on this for a really long time. And I'm sure we'll get a little bit more into the story itself, but, you know, it's just interesting how Rachel and I are able to co-write this together. We both have our different strengths, that we like to showcase when we do our books. And everybody can follow us and join our e-list and things like that at rafisherauthors.com.
Great. Well, I was excited from the moment you guys reached out to me. We met via social media. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you told me that you guys played Dungeons and Dragons and some of your stories were basically born from those campaigns, that's exactly how I write. You know, my books are the same way. It's a memorialization of over 20 years of playing the game and, you know, and falling in love with some of the characters and some of the villains. Tell our listeners a little bit about the world that you've created and some of the ideas, where do those stories come from?
Absolutely. So our story has a really long history. So it started with a D&D campaign that Rachel and her cousin Kevin did years ago. And so what happened was, you know, all of that was done and lost and stuff like that. And we were going through some old bins and found character sheets. And she started telling me about this story. And we were both like, yeah, this would make an amazing book. And then we're like, yeah, it would be. And then I got pushed aside. And then we started talking about it again. And from that point, it just grew. And we're like, okay, let's see what we can do here. And so when we were talking and building this idea, you know, Rachel said to me, listen, I think we need to have a strong female character, because with the D&D campaign, Raven wasn't in that campaign. It was her father, Igor. And so she's like, I think I want Igor to have a family. And it's based off of, I'm not going to tell any spoilers, but something happened during that campaign that made him say, yeah, okay, the rogue life really isn't for me anymore. And so I want to go a different path. And so she's like, you know what? I want to build off of that. And so that's how we created Raven. And then the story is so different now than it was back then. I mean, it took us almost 10 years to get from that initial, you know, storyboarding all the way to having it published. And it's been a great adventure.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because I, as a player and also a long time, almost steady dungeon master for almost 20 years, I get it. A lot of those interactions and campaigns breed awesome stories for books and movies and comics and all the kind of stuff that come from that. What are some of the elements of Dungeons and Dragons that you use in your books? Now, I know that when I say use, I know that neither you nor I can use exactly what Dungeons and Dragons or Wizards of the Coast, you know, Hasbro, do with that stuff, but we all borrow inspiration from them or Tolkien or somebody else. What are some of those elements that you guys have added into your own realm?
I mean, we have the different classes and the different races, obviously. So we build off of our characters from that. And then we take that, but we also find personalities from people that are around us and put into those characters. And then we have a magic system that is fueled by dragon magic. In most of the world, there's other magic that happens in different pieces, but we don't get into that until the third book. And things like that. So, like, you know, a lot of the spells usually and things like that, and class, like I said, the classes and things like that. So we really liked the idea of when we created the actual world, trying to keep as much as we could to the, keeping as much to the actual, I guess, the base of what D&D is, but also trying to make our own twists. Like you said, like, there's certain things you can't use. So, like, Rachel would sit down and be like, okay, we can't call this X, but instead we can call it Y. And it has the same properties and it has the same magic or whatever, but it's ours because we've twisted it a little bit. So,
yeah, you build your own world, right? Yeah. Like, I do the same thing. There's inspiration you could take from gameplay, and there's things that you can do. But, you know, for spellcraft and things like that, I call it the conjurer's tongue, and mm-hmm. someone else is going to call it something else. And, you know, there are ways that you can make it your own while also staying true to what people understand. And it's easier for them to stay within the confines of their own, you know, beliefs, because if it's familiar to them, right? They've seen it and they get it. But I've got to ask this question then. Since you've taken inspiration from the game, I know that you've got to have some unique monster or unique magic or unique weapon or something. Tell us what that is that you're most proud of, that you created on your own, that you've woven into this sort of D&D fabric in the background.
Oh gosh, there's so many things. That is a really, really hard question without giving away too much information. So one thing that we're kind of, you know, happy with is we created that there are these artifacts and, like, that are part of our world, and they're very dangerous artifacts. And so we're really proud on the fact that we, you know, we took things that, again, were very similar, but we just put a little twist. Like, there's a very special dagger that has very dark, try not to give anything away, properties. So, like, you know, so the, like, those kind of, that was really fun to do, like, to take these, like, objects that would just kind of be normal and just find the spells or find the incantations and things like that, that could just make it just a little different.
And how long, you said you've been playing the game for about 10 years. Is it the same group? Have people come in and out of your group? I know that I have sort of the same core, you know, 6 or 7 guys that have played, but at times, you know, your life takes over and you might wander off and not be available for a period, but we always seem to get back together, and we play on Sunday nights, like 6 to 10.
Yeah.
You know, just it's a nerd thing. And, you know, other guys get together and play poker. We get together and play D&D on Zoom. You know, what about you? Has it been pretty much the same core group, or have you brought in other people over the course of the years?
Oh, other people, because this started more than 10 years ago. So Rachel and Kevin started with some of their friends, and Kevin has been with us through the whole journey, and he's actually helped us with some ideas for the books and, like, some ideas for the map and all that kind of stuff too. So the cool thing is, like, you know, Rachel and Kevin have played, you know, consistently played, they play D&D and they pick up new things. And Rachel, we have 2 boys that are now in their 20s. They've been playing D&D since they were, like, I don't know, like 10, 12. And so they were really interested and gotten into it. So they started playing. And then what's really cool is a lot of the campaigns that they're doing, it's not necessarily a continuation of that original one, but all of them or a lot of them are now being inspired by our world. And so, like, you know, creating new characters within this world that we're like, oh, wow, they'll be really cool for a future book or a future storyline or something like that. So that's kind of how we've continued the story, but it's not the original storyline. That makes sense.
So I have to ask, because you mentioned your sons, I started playing Dungeons and Dragons when I was 10, same age. I fell in love with it. My fourth or fifth grade English teacher read me The Hobbit at the same, and I asked for a box set of the Dungeons and Dragons, and I've been playing for 20 years. So it's just something that, you know, I've loved and continued. How have your boys reacted to it? You know, now that do they still play now that they're in their 20s? Are they following the same path as me and you guys, or have they wandered away from the game?
Yeah. So I guess I'm considered more of a newbie than anything, because I never had played. And then when we started working on this book, Rachel taught me and I started joining her and Kevin. And so we started playing more, but I'm like, I'm one of those people that like give me the archer elf character. And I am very happy to just do that and watch everybody else, because, you know, I find some of it a little still more confusing, but I love the storytelling aspect of it. And our sons have kind of gone more towards like Rachel, where they love it. Like, we actually have a game coming up, a new session coming up this Friday. A bunch of people are getting together to create actually a campaign that's based around our world, which is very exciting.
But that sounds so much fun.
Yeah, it is. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And so there are some names are Austin and Jared, and they love it. Like it blows my mind just sitting there and listening to them and Rachel and Kevin, and they're just talking all this language. I'm going, like, I guess it's just the storyteller in me, and I'm like, this is just, it's so fascinating to be able to walk, like, get out of reality and live in that space. And I don't know, like, I wish I had half the knowledge that my kids have in that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, but they do. They really, really love playing the game. And they're so creative with it. Like, they love just taking the ideas and running with it and come up with some really cool side stories on their own. So they've DM'd a couple times too, as well, for different things. So they love it. They really do.
Well, good. I hope they continue to play and you guys play until you're 100 years old. So, I mean, I'm that's my goal. I'm trying to do the same. So let's get back to your books for a second, because I don't want to get too far afield. We've been talking a lot about D&D, but we started with your books. And I want to get back there. So every author builds their characters differently, right? And, you know, sometimes those characters are made for a purpose in the book. Others are symbolic. And then others are made to really resonate with the reader. Which characters do you think your readers, or what characters resonate most with your readers, and why?
Well, everybody, a lot of people like Gideon, who is the guardian of the mortal realm. And just because he's fun, and he's just a really fun character. I mean, he's a war wizard, and he's one of the characters that everybody really resonates with. And then Short is another one. He is our comic relief dwarf. So
aptly named, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so so he's another character that people really love. But then when other people, we talk to other people, like, there's a lot of characters in this book that have more of a personal connection to people. Like, you know, Rachel's personality definitely shines through with Raven, the Raven character. My personality, I wrote, helped to write Avalon's character. You know, we talked about our boys, you know, Austin and Jared, when they were 10, again, 10 and 12, we asked them, hey, create characters for this book. And they created this amazing characters and storyline that they are major plots in our story. So, you know, there's those kind of really important characters. You know, another one for me personally is I lost my niece when she was only 20, and her name was Ashley, and we wanted her memory to last forever. And so we made her this kick-ass character warrior in the book. And it's really emotional, but it's a great character too. So I really think it just depends on the people. And that's one of the things that we're just really proud of, is like there are so many characters in our book. There's somebody for everybody. And that's how we write it, because we want the reader to feel connected to the characters, where they want to be their friends and they want to go along on an adventure with them. And that's
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to say, I mean, the memorialization of Ashley's character into the warrior is a really, really, really cool concept. And I'm glad you guys did that. I think that a lot of folks that play D&D would respect that. And I'm glad to hear that you guys have done that.
Thank you.
But let me ask you this question. I'm going to turn this away from the book itself, but more toward you guys as a tag team here. I had one other group that was on at one point, and they wrote books together. A lot of our listeners also happen to be aspiring authors or are authors. It's just not readers. And so I want you to give them a little bit of advice if they are planning on writing a book as a team, like you guys do. How do you guys tackle that? What's the good and what's the bad? And, you know, and what's your writing process look like, as opposed to it just being, you know, a singular vision?
I think the first thing I would tell anybody who is trying to write together is know your strengths. So that's kind of how Rachel and I write. Like, she is very good at writing battle scenes and dialogue. I am really good at more of the descriptive and, like, you know, taking a sentence and be like, okay, let's embellish this as much as we can, you know. So that's kind of my strength as well. So that kind of, I think the first step is just knowing what you're really, really good at, and then also relying on your partner for what they're good at, and then kind of like a check and balance. I think the only negative or downside sometimes is, like anything else, it's like, you know, you have two people that we know how we have to get to this end point, but sometimes we hit roadblock where we're like, no. Like, I'll be like, no, that doesn't make sense. Like, we can't go that way. And she's just like, Anne, think about this. If we do this, this, and this, it's going to be really cool. And like, sometimes I have to get out of my own way, you know, and be like, oh, I see it now. And also vice versa. Like, you know, sometimes I have to do the same thing. I'll be like, okay, I get where you're going, but is that detail enough that it needs a whole two pages of it? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a throwaway character. You're never going to see that person again. So that kind of, you know, what, you know, the only, it's not even an obstacle. It's just, you know, a learning curve that you have to, if you're going to be writing with somebody, that you have to know that, okay, take the criticism, hear the other person, and just talk it out. And it also helps sometimes to have a third, you know, non-biased person that will be your, like, referee, where you can, like, call them and be like, okay, we need to bounce ideas off of you and tell us who's right. So that helps too. That it does.
So what's next for you guys? I mean, you've got, you know, this thing rolling now. Do you have any works in progress, or what could your readers expect next?
We do. So our next book is with the editors. And so as soon as they start that process, it'll be a whole lot of back and forth edits. the last one, when we just did this book, we submitted our first draft of it. And it originally was like a 66,000 word book. And it ended up being like 114,000. So almost doubled in size. So it's like, you know, it's a process. So book two is right now with them. And we're waiting to do that. And then we're also working on book three. So we're in brainstorming and writing. We have a couple of chapters that we have started to at least have a first draft of. We have, again, we know how it needs to end. So we've been going through those conversations of like, how do we get to that end? Because that's one thing, like as a writer, you have to know, how did this begin? What's the middle? And that's the end. And that's great. But okay, there's a whole lot of other chapters in there that you have to navigate and figure out like what's going to go in there to get you to that final part. So that's what we just finished up. So we're going to be writing more here. More writing.
Well, look, we're coming to the end of our time together, and I usually take our guests through a quick lightning round. I ask you some fun questions, nothing, no gotcha moments or anything like that. Okay. So are you ready to play?
I'm going to do my best. Go for it.
All right. So you're invited to a lunch with one other author, living or dead. Who would that author be and why?
For me, it's Cassandra Clare. I love her books. I don't know why, but I do. I really do. I just love the way that she creates her characters. And I think that that's where I base that off of.
That's no problem. Hey, look, everybody has their own tastes and likes and things like that. So what's your favorite D&D class to play, and what's your favorite D&D race to play?
Elf Archer.
that narrows it down a little bit.
I like playing Elf Archer. I did just recently do a Sorceress, so that was kind of cool too.
Okay. As an author, what's the best money you have ever spent, and what's the worst money you've ever spent?
Best is all of our cool pop-up banners, because I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than when you're at a book event and people see this huge dragon behind you. It pulls them over to you. And the worst, all the money we've spent on trying to learn how to do marketing. Yeah, it's rough.
I understand. Final question. You're walking by and you see that there's a library burning, and you rush in to help, and you only can save one book, and it can't be any of your own. What book is it and why?
Okay, this is going to be really weird, but Frankenstein, because it was the first book when I was in high school that I read, that I loved reading, that I didn't feel like somebody was forcing me to read, that I just truly loved reading it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Mary Shelley. That's a good answer. Yeah. So look, we're coming to the end of our time here. And before we let you go, remind everybody where they can find you and where they can buy your books.
Absolutely. They can go to our website, which is rafisherauthors.com. And they can also buy our books on Amazon.
Great. Well, again, thank you very much for being on the show. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear today. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you. Thanks again for coming on the show, Anne-Marie.
Thank you so much.